It's Kenesha here. Now I know it's been a long time and I shouldn't have left you without a dope beat to step to, but that's life sometimes. I'm so happy to be back with an awesome conversation about self-expression featuring my cousin Samara. We recorded this episode over a year ago and I'm so excited to finally be able to share it with you. So, without further ado, let's get into it. Welcome to Fam Talk, Samara.
Thank you for having me, Kenesha.
So I'll just let you introduce yourself since you know yourself better than I do.
I know. Well, my name is Samara, as my parents say. Mother of the tribe, Kai, Micah, and Faith. Singer, teacher, forever student of life.
So today we wanted to talk about self-expression, mm-hmm. and I would say you're a very expressive person. Would you agree?
You know, people say that about me. Yes, I would say so.
Do you think you've always been that way or something you grew into?
I think I might have always been that way, but I think I had to grow into being comfortable with it, because for some time I felt awkward. Like, why can't I just sit? Why do I always have to find, you know, something to do? Why am I not satisfied with just the status quo? Why must I do this and this and this and this, you know? But I realized that's just me, so now I own it, but yeah. I wasn't always comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Self-expression is something I've been thinking a lot about lately. I don't know why. I've been talking a lot with my friends about, like, how I never cry. Mm-hmm. And just coming to that realization lately, I'm like, I just don't cry. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And I'm a very emotional person, mm-hmm. and I feel things very deeply, but I don't express them in that way. So I've been trying to think to myself, like, in what ways do I, if I don't do that, in what ways do I release frustration, or
yeah.
how do I, like, I realize that I don't identify with anger.
Yeah.
I'll say I was frustrated or irritated, but anger is not something that I, and so I've just been, like, thinking and looking into that and trying to unpack it.
That's really good. I don't think I was unpacking anything until recently. But it's interesting that you say that, and it's a healthy way to approach it, because you have to say, okay, wait a minute. This is kind of like my trigger or my breaking point. Why is this my breaking point? Or why is this the place that I seem to get stuck? Mm-hmm. And I have started to really do some examining. And you know what has really helped me?
What?
I realized that I'm a perfectionist, mm-hmm. and it's not really a good thing to be a perfectionist. I like to do things well, but I feel like I'm a perfectionist in, and it's not a positive thing, in that I don't like to be wrong. Mm-hmm. And I want to, even if I'm starting something brand new, like if I pick back up a violin, next week I want to have it down and I want to be able to perform it. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand. Samara, there's a process.
Uh-huh.
And I realized this about myself when I said, when the children were going with their at their father's house in June, I said, okay, I'm taking an acting class. So I've been taking an acting class all summer.
Uh-huh.
Acting class is better than therapy. It will show you who you are in a safe environment, and it feels very caring, but it's very honest. And it's like you have to learn how to tell the truth while representing something that is not real. And you have to do that quickly.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're talking about improv, you have to do that instantly,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to look like a fool. And so the first and second and third time, I was so uncomfortable. And I was like, and I would get my head in the game, and I would, like, study. I'd read up on the internet about improv, uh-huh. and I'd watch Whose Line Was It Anyway. And I'd be like, I'm ready. And I'd go to class, and they would just throw something at me, and I'd be like. But I realized that the key to self-expression is living in the moment.
Yeah.
If you don't live in the moment, you will miss the blessing of being able to express yourself, because everything is not planned. Life is not planned. Yes, you can prepare, but you really cannot plan.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest lesson I learned just this summer going, because I was just like, I would beat myself up when I, you know. And then one day we had to do an improv song. So they just put the teams together. I was like, about six or seven of us. So we had to do, they were pointing to us and they were like, okay, you do verse one, you do verse two, you come up with a hook, you come up with a bridge, and the song's gonna be about whatever.
Uh-huh.
Go! And the genre is blues. And I'm like, and in that moment, I was like, have fun. And I did.
Yeah.
And I was like, everything is not, it doesn't have to be. But I do think that that is, that's something I've sort of just, it's just adapted as a grown person with kids and a career. I just have become a planner.
Yeah.
But in terms of self-expression,
mm-hmm.
I'm leaning toward, you know, being prepared, but being open and receptive to everything and anything so that I can enjoy every experience that comes to me. So I'm learning that just now.
I've been wanting to take an acting class because I was thinking about improv specifically.
Yeah.
Just because I'm very much a planner.
Yeah.
And I realize that sometimes in my interactions with people, I don't get as much as I could get out of it if I were kind of just letting myself be. Because I even realized this yesterday. Like I walked into a store. Now that my book's out, anytime I see like a children's shop or a bookstore, like my eyes are peeled. So I was at Pont City Market and I saw this little toy shop,
mm-hmm.
and I walked in and I was like, I need to get the information for the person who does the purchasing at this shop, because it was so cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in and I went up to the lady at the desk and I was like, how can I get the contact information for the person who does your purchasing? And after I left, like, I got all the information, all that, but I realized after I left that I should have, like, hey,
some small talk with her.
I did none of that. I was just so straight to the point. And, like, I could have missed out on, like, a nice interaction with a stranger when I just breezed by and just went straight for the punchline.
Well, sometimes when I'm really, really focused, and I'm learning to not do that. Because I will do that same thing. And I'll call someone and say, hey, can such and such and such and such, you know, because I'm trying to, I've got stuff to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this and this has to get done now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just easier to, you know, develop relationships as we, you know, move along. It makes it easier. And then, you know, that's a connection that you've made,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I learned something about myself last week in orientation. So at my new place of work, employment, they're really big on social emotional learning and really big on people understanding their strengths rather than struggling to
make up for their weaknesses.
Right. Right. Yeah. And the example that they used in one of the sessions was timing yourself. How fast can you write your name, first, middle, and last, with your dominant hand? Now try it with the weaker hand. And so those two examples were like, okay, this is your weakness. You can still do the job. It's going to take you longer. And this is your strength. How about focus on your strength? Because whether it's a weakness or a strength, you're going to be able to, you're a responsible person, you're going to be able to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
But it's better to do it in your strength
and
to be able to hone in on what you're good at. And so they had us take this Gallup Clifton Strengths Inventory or something.
Mm-hmm.
I probably totally messed up the name of it. But so I discovered there are 34 areas. And I discovered my top five were, in this order, analytical. So true. Achiever. Context. So understanding how things fit together. Relator. Relationships with people. And responsibility. So when that came, that laid out in front of me, and then they gave me this whole write-up to understand what it meant, and they gave all of us, new employees, a book to read up more about it, I started to think about myself within that context. Like, okay, you are an analytical person. In every way, I'm an analytical person. I will say, okay, I'll pick up this book. And I'll say, okay, how does this connect to this? How does this connect to this? And this is how I process things. Mm-hmm. And even in how I express myself, I go, I do logic puzzles for fun. Ha! Bet you haven't met anybody who does them for fun, right?
I want one. I want a book. I used to love those little critical thinking.
Yes! Things. But when I feel like I'm stuck, mm-hmm. I'll get unstuck by, you know, doing a puzzle. And sometimes I express myself by doing things like that. And it helped me to forgive myself, because sometimes I'm like, okay, this is really nerdy and lame. But I thought, oh, this is really who I am. And, you know, being a singer, music is very analytical. You've got to do quite a bit of interpreting. You know, it meshes with the choices that I've made. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I think I'm just now, 39, starting to really be comfortable in everything that I've decided to be. Mm-hmm. Like, what I've decided to not be, I'm good. I'm good with it. And so if I want to express myself by singing Cardi B and Bruno Mars, yeah. Or if I want to write on my blog, that's been a really good source of expression for me. And a lot of women, because it seems like all of my friends are single parents now. It's interesting. They identify with it too. So I've been able to find things that are just natural, mm-hmm. that I don't have to kind of really go outside of that and, you know, go do something that's totally not myself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm careful not to try to do that.
How do you think those traits that you mentioned fit in with your career choices?
Well, I am now a math specialist. So, yeah. Last year, I was a classroom teacher. And I just kept saying, oh, gosh, I really just want to do, I want to lean in the direction of, you know, math and science. And whenever we had data talks, I was just all in it. I mean, and they would say, we need you to come to the data talk because we like how you look.
What's
at the numbers. It's when the building, I guess the administrators and the grade chairs and other teachers, they come together to look at the data and look at how students are doing, whether it's benchmarks assessments or reading and math checkpoints or anything like that. And so I would look at the numbers and it would all make sense to me. I would be able to look at them and say, okay, why does this say this? Why does this number, why is this child at, I don't know, this particular Lexile level? Okay, can you tell me what was happening last year? What was happening this semester? What interventions? And it just comes together like a story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me. And so that was really interesting to me that now I get to focus only on math. And, you know, I'll be working with teachers and, you know, having conversations about data, the things that I really like to do, you know. So it has really led me there. But what's equally as interesting is that even though I'm an analytical person and I like numbers, I also love to write. But it has to make sense.
Yeah.
So I can't just, I don't know, just start writing about whatever. It has to have a purpose.
So how does singing factor into that whole idea of self-expression and being your true self?
You know, I kind of didn't have a choice. I suppose I did. I mean, because my brothers grew up around it too. But, you know, you always want to do what your mother does and be like her, you know. Mm-hmm. And my mother, when I was smaller, and especially in Trinidad, she had like ensembles and choirs and groups and the children's group. You know, she was the person. And so every rehearsal, I was there. I learned how to harmonize by listening to them practice songs. And I remember where I was when I realized that I could harmonize. I was in Freeport, New York, and somebody said, Clay, your daughter could sing alto? And I was like, oh, I guess I can. But it's always just really been a part of me. The first time I sang, I was 3 years old next to my mother, and she has a recording, by the way.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, and I was trying to have vibrato, so it's bad. It's really bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We sang a duet. So, but it's always, I don't know, that's just been that thing that was all just mine. You know, it's been that thing that I knew God gave it to me. And I've certainly had to develop it over the years and learn. I'm still learning and studying styles and listening to other people. And of course, you know, when you're entertaining people, it's a whole nother aspect to it. It's not just singing, but it's entertainment. And so I've learned so much. But it's just been my own thing that I knew early that was a gift from God. Mm-hmm. And I've always kind of really held it close like that. Because every other musical experience I had, when I played the violin when I was smaller and when I played the trumpet, I had to work really, really, really hard because it wasn't innate, you know? But to me, singing is almost, it's just like breathing. So I don't know if it's self-expression. I mean, it is. I think it is, but it's just so natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. I will say I'm the happiest when I'm singing.
I was, I think I said it on the last episode I did, that when I play my violin, for the most part, I don't really necessarily feel like I'm expressing something internally, and I would imagine that singing would be, I mean, I guess it's different for every person, but in my head it would seem that singing would be even more so of like letting something out, because it's physically something that's coming out of you. You like feel it within you that it comes out. So I don't know, it's interesting to hear you talk about it.
It is. And I don't know if you've ever watched Empire, but you know,
I used to. I haven't.
I know, I'm behind too. Yeah. but they say, put it into music.
Uh-huh.
Now, I know what that's like to put it into music. And there's been times where I had to, you know, I knew I had a show and I was going through a whole lot. I mean, a lot. And I would see that the stage was set and the client was there and they were happy. You know, they were like, oh, I'm so happy that you're here. And I'm like, okay, so I'm just do the show.
Yeah.
And I would put every single thing that I felt, good or bad, into it. And it would help me to release it in a healthy way, because otherwise sometimes I would feel like I was gonna explode.
Yeah.
And I would just, but putting it into music seemed to be like a natural release. And so it wasn't too much. It's a strange thing. Because when you put it in there, you can just embody whatever the experience of the music is. And if you're upset, you could still sing a joyful song. If you're happy, you could still sing a sad song. Mm-hmm. But the energy that you bring to it, you can just go whoosh and just, you know, just focus deliver it to the microphone. And it's been very therapeutic. Very therapeutic. Yeah. I think everybody has to have something like that, though. And if they don't, then they go searching. This is why we need experiences as children, to try things and to fail, to excel. I mean, we need to figure out what's our thing, you know, because everybody doesn't have a microphone in their face at 3 years old. But you might be a writer, but you don't know it until you know how to write.
Yeah.
You know, and so we have to have these experiences where we try things and we fail at them, and then we get to try something else because we're not so good over here. I know I'm not a dancer, not my thing. Now, I will do what I must do to perform, but I'm not about to go.
You have rhythm.
So I have rhythm, and I have music,
yeah.
And you can't ask for anything more, but it's not my, you know, greatest talent to go saying that I will perform a dance for somebody.
Yeah.
Not going to happen, but it's been important to have that in my life, the music. And even a greater blessing that I've been able to earn an income from it, mm-hmm. is even better, because, you know, it's allowed me to do a lot. So, I don't know. I'm developing some things. Acting, I've only had a few opportunities to act in front of people mm-hmm. on stage, and it went well. And someone said, you should act. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it definitely is an art and a science. And I'm not trying to diminish any of the work that it is required to excel in that. But at this time, I'm just really in an exploratory mode.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see, you know, is there something that that this can give me or I can use it for?
I was hanging out with some people yesterday and they were asking, what would alternate universe you be doing right now? So if you were in a different parallel universe, what would you be doing with your life? It's different than what you're doing now.
I do not think that I would be in a 9-to-5. So you're making the right decision.
Thank you.
I do not think, I mean, now I have 3 children that depend on me, so I shall, you know, ride this all the way to the bank. And I've learned how to, you know, be disciplined enough to function and to excel and do this well. And because my why is my children, but my why is the children at the school. You know, they mm-hmm. need me. They deserve someone who cares. They deserve good instruction. And so, yes, I'm passionate about that. But in an alternate universe, I would probably do much of what I'm doing now, but the part-time would be the full-time.
Mm.
Yeah. I would sing. I would write. I would paint. I would just create. I would do pottery. I would do all kinds of creative things. I would also, I'm very much inspired by Ayanla Van Zant.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely work in some sort of relational capacity where I had to counsel or connect with people for their own healing, something like that.
Yeah.
And I have that opportunity now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you work with people and you're in a service profession, you're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if I were to choose it again, I'd probably do all of those things. Or if
I can see it.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny because people just keep, and now that I have this blog, all my single friends or my newly single friends, they'll call me and they will say, you know, what do you think of this? Or what, I need some advice. And I have not figured this out. You know, I'm not in survival mode anymore. I am in a place where I kind of just like what life looks like
mm-hmm.
for me. And I'm comfortable with it, and I'm not, you know, searching for the next husband or anything like that. So I'm just at a restful space. So it's interesting the opportunities that I get to have conversations, because I see it's such an experience when you're raising children, and then to do it, you know, alone, it's such an experience. And so the whole range of emotions I've had. Opportunities to talk with friends about it and to encourage, and we really encourage each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that would be another way of self-expression for me. Encouragement.
Yeah. I think for me, I've had to kind of come to terms with, I don't know, I think it's kind of goes back to what you were saying about accepting who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we talk about the whole self-expression thing or, you know, that question everyone likes to ask, what do you do for fun? And what I do for fun might not seem fun to you, so...
What do you do for fun?
I don't like answering this question. I realized that I like to create things.
Uh-huh.
So this podcast, it can be stressful sometimes, but, like, having the finished product, like, when I get to, like, add the music in and do all the fading in and out, like, I love the feeling of having accomplished something like that.
Right.
And having something that I've put together. Like, for my roommate's graduation present, I made her a rap album.
With all of your raps?
No, not with the ones I posted online. Oh, okay. I wrote new ones for her, and they were things that... So she got a job in California, and the raps that I made for her were things that I tell her that I won't be able to tell her because she'll be gone.
Aww.
So one of them was, go to bed. She doesn't like going to bed. I did one, eat your veggies. Another one of the songs was called Big Budget Girls. So yeah, just things like that. So like I spent like, I was up till like 3 a.m. one night just like making that. Mm-hmm. And like things like that are fun for me. I've realized that I like, yeah, I like creating things. So
yeah,
I think that's what I find fun.
And I'm trying to figure out how to find that piece of myself again.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I used to write a lot of music, and then the other day I sat down, I was like, oh my gosh, this is hard, you know, because the responsible side of me wins often. Mm-hmm. Not to say that being creative is irresponsible, but the part that has to do, you know, the work from work, the mm-hmm. part that has to make dinner for the kids, the part that has to do laundry, it wins. And so there I am, and I'm like, ah. So I have been very intentional about making sure that when the children are not with me, that I'm about me. And, you know, I do everything from massages to going out because I like to see people perform
mm-hmm.
because I learn a lot from that.
Yeah.
So I might go get a massage, or I used to get my nails painted. Done more, but I decided I was wasting too much money with that. It was just too expensive. But you know, I learned how to do this. I went on YouTube and figured out how to crochet. Now I got a different hairstyle every week. I mean, it's a little bit expression for yeah. me, self-expression for me, because I'm saving money, and that's a responsible thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then I get to decide, do I want to be a curly girl today, or do I want to have locks?
Mm-hmm.
You know. And for some people, I don't know, it seems small, but everybody has to have something for themselves. If you don't have something for yourself, that means that you're giving your entire self to the world and you're not getting a chance to enjoy what everybody else is enjoying.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really sad thing.
Right, yeah.
You know, people say, oh, you're such a great person. And you're like, oh, is that so?
Mm-hmm.
Because you haven't had an opportunity to spend time with that great person.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, anything from, sometimes I will just go, there's a lake in my neighborhood, and nobody is ever there. No one's ever at the pool, by the way. I love this neighborhood because it's quiet. It's full of old retired people. And sometimes I will just go there, and I will sit, and it is so silent, and I'll read. Or not, or I'll go on Facebook. But I will take time to just be myself without something to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know, at this, I'm in a transitioning period. I'm gonna be 40 soon. I'm okay with it. But it's really a lot of questions. What are you doing with your life? Are you happy? Do you have regrets? If you have regrets, can you fix them? Are you going to be booed up soon? Or are you going to be single forever? I mean, all these questions are in my mind. And I've really come to the conclusion that as long as I am growing and being honest with God, and I mean really honest with God, and sometimes my prayers are real. They're not the kind of prayers you want to pray in church. You know, the real pretty prayers.
Uh-huh.
You know? Sometimes I just, you know, I'm like, well, you already know. So I don't have to go through the drill. You already know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what I will say is, you know, and I'm having this, you know, this conversation with God. But when I'm finished, I feel like we've really connected.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to walk around carrying any manner of guilt or regret or anxiety, because that used to happen to me a lot. But now I'm just like, whatever. And sometimes it sounds very dismissive, mm-hmm. you know, but whatever. I mean, I do give myself a list of 3 things to do for the day. Like, I know today, got to make Faith's lunch. I've got to make sure I do some laundry. And I've got to go to Publix. If I can get that done, yay me. You know?
Yeah.
And then giving yourself permission to just be and feel and do and exist and grow and fail. Failure is really powerful. And it's quite the tool. And I think it's the most undervalued tool toward success. Because failure teaches you what you're not good at. It also gives you a consequence for not, maybe not following through. It teaches you lessons, helps you to kind of recalibrate yourself. It's very powerful. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, oh my gosh, I failed. No, it's just a lesson. And if you haven't learned that lesson, then the failure is final. But failure is just formative. It's just something, it's something that you use to know what to do next and next and next and next. Because we can't make life decisions all at once. We make moment by moment decisions, day by day decisions, you know? So, I don't know, I've learned that. I don't know if I've gone a little bit further off from self-expression, but I think it's all in the same pot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It informs everything.
Yeah, and if to be a whole person, if you don't have a way to express yourself, then you really don't have a way to be yourself. Hmm. Because you can be yourself, but to express means that you're introducing yourself to the world and that you have some sort of comfort and steadiness in whoever you've introduced. And you said, okay, this is me, and I'm good with that.
Yeah.
And let me show you evidence of that, you know? Yeah.
I've been thinking lately that one of my forms of self-expression is the way I dress. Mm-hmm. Because I think, like, subconsciously, I started getting kind of into kind of fashion because as a quiet person, who I am isn't quite as on display mm-hmm. as it might be for other people. So I wanted to have something that if someone looks at me, they have some sort of an idea.
They're like,
as to who I am.
She's so eclectic, or she's so trendy, right. Or she's so, like, your haircut is very expressive.
Thank you.
Because a lot of women, I remember when I cut my hair and my friend Olivia called me and she said, what's going on? And I said, nothing. She's like, oh no, a woman who cuts her hair. You know, what's the saying? A woman who cuts her hair is about to change her life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the time, I didn't know I was about to change my life, literally, but I really was. But it does, it's a bold sense to be able to say, I don't need any hair.
Yeah.
You know how many people would not dare say they don't need hair? Mm-hmm. And then you put some zigzags and some treble cloth up in your hair. You know, it's gorgeous. The first time I saw it, I was like, oh, it was just perfect. It's like just the most perfect hairstyle. And because I adore short hair too. But it's true. It's you have to have a sense of knowing you are and you're in your beauty. Because some people rely on their hair to speak mm-hmm. for them, especially if you have long hair or wavy hair, or, you know, not particularly. Well, nowadays, 4C hair rocks too. But we didn't celebrate it as much, you know, when I was growing up. So, but yeah, it is beautiful. I love the way you dress.
Thank you.
I gotta get hip to it. I was just in my closet just this morning and I was like, okay. I gotta do something.
I'm not excited about anything.
I'm not about anything. And then I realized, I was like, when was the last time I've gone swimming? Not swimming. I've gone shopping. I saw my daughter in a swimsuit and said swimming. And I realized, oh, you don't even shop anymore. You just buy stuff for them.
Yeah.
So I do think that I do need to buy some clothes. But I will give myself a uniform for work. I think I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm there now. I'm about to be Ellen's little sister because it's going to be some Converses or sneaker-esque.
Yeah.
Either khakis or a black pant, like a white button-down shirt and a blazer every day. Because I don't want to think about that part.
Yeah.
I want to think about the other stuff. I want to think about the kids that I'm serving and how I can really affect change. Like, I don't want my outfit to be what I'm consumed with for the day, or my heels are hurting my feet, or, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want to put on some shoes and go. And then on the weekends, when it's time to be cute and I have time, you know, to click clack all over the place and have a matching purse, then I'll worry about the dress, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm leaning in that direction these days. Or maybe I'm just getting old and I'm like, oh God, I can't.
That's how I feel about my hair. Uh-huh. Like, I don't have to think about it anymore.
Right.
It's really nice not having to do that.
it's interesting how much we limit the things that we love to do.
Because of our hair.
Because of our hair. Mm-hmm. You know? Oh my gosh, I can't go to the gym because I'm going to sweat out my press. Or, you know what I mean? Or I can't go swimming because my locks are too heavy. When I had locks, I'd be like, oh God, that's going to take all day to dry. And how much more do we limit the things that we want to do based on, I don't know what people will think, mm-hmm. who has said something, who's going to talk about me, who's going to be disappointed in me. We do that too.
Yeah.
As someone said to me once, are you still singing secular music? And I said, yes. And she said, I have some literature for you. And I just politely said, no, thank you. And she looked at me strange and I said, listen, I know that this voice came from God. And as long as I am singing and I'm using it, you know, and I'm not disappointing myself and going against my own values.
Yeah.
You know, because I do have values. I'm good with that. It's important to be able to sing somebody's first song. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Their first dance to help them celebrate. Yesterday I sang, I think I sang the mother-son dance.
Mm-hmm.
And how sweet it is to be loved by you. And as the band was playing, and you saw the mom, she looked so proud of him, and he was dancing, and they were just, you know, they were in just heaven.
Yeah.
And it's like, needed a shelter, someone's arms. And he's looking at his mom. And I was a part of that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important job.
Right.
It really is, to help people to be able to celebrate the greatest times of their lives. We have enough opportunities to weep and to grieve. We have enough time to stress.
Mm-hmm.
Why not help someone to celebrate a mountaintop experience? I don't see where that's wrong, mm-hmm. you know? And that's where sometimes you have to be strong enough in yourself to be able to say, I'm clear in who I am. This brings me joy. This is fulfilling to me. And this is a decision I've made. So thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah.
Please keep your literature. I know she meant well, to be honest.
Right.
She did mean well, but she did keep her literature that day. Because what I'm not going to do is feel sorry about using a gift that God gave me. I know at some time I will have to account for it. What did I do with this voice?
Yeah.
You know, the singing voice, the speaking voice, the opportunities I had to connect. I know I have to give an account. And I have to be responsible with that. And I heard somebody say the other day, the gifts that he's given you is an investment. And anybody who makes an investment wants a return. You know, whether it's a huge return or a small return, they're not doing it to waste their time. And when God created you, he decided, I'm going to invest in her this. Let's see what she does for the world with it. You know, and that's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But in our self-expression, we have to be responsible with the gifts that God's given us and say, I'm going to use it. And it may be in a non-traditional manner or some way that, you know, some people might go, I don't know. That's a little different.
Yeah.
You know, because it's different because it's different to them. It's strange because it's strange to them. You know? They don't approve of it because they couldn't handle it. But that's not your story. So, you know? I mean, because how many people are authors? How many people do you know who are authors?
Okay. Not very many.
Okay. You know what I mean? And people will say, why would you want to do that? Well, I'm a creator. And because I'm a creator, I create. You know? Because I'm a teacher, I teach. Because I'm a singer, I sing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy when you think of it in that context.
If you could go back to... go back to what? I don't know. Let's pick in a year, an age. Knowing all that you know now, if you could go back, how would you live differently?
Oh, you're going to have to pick an age for me.
Okay, I'm 23, so let's go 23.
Oh my God, I got married at 23.
Oh.
So, I would not have gotten married at 23. I would have really taken time to have fun as an adult starting a career. You know, I have three beautiful children, and they're amazing, beautiful children. But I don't think that was a good choice in terms of getting married at that time and to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the hindsight, 2020. So what I would say is at 23, it's a wonderful time. It's like you're out of college. You have all of these skills. And the world is your oyster. So go and taste and travel and do. And figure out what really makes you you before you become one with someone else. Because, you know, that other person might also be in the place where they really need to develop themselves before. And then, you know, then comes babies. I had my first baby at 25, and then Micah at 30, and Faith at 35. Jeez, okay. You know? So I would have done that differently. That being said, I'm glad I'm about to turn 40 and I'm not like getting pregnant for the first time, because that would...
Yeah, that's a whole other can of worms there.
Oh my gosh. You know, so of course, things always work out for the good.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely, if I were to scream at my 23-year-old self, I'd be like, no, girl, don't do it. But I would... Yeah, I would load my passport up and I would travel by myself if necessary, but I would spend a lot of time alone. I mean, I have friends and I spend time with friends, but I would spend time thinking and developing whatever comes to my mind, like what you're doing now, being creative, because this is the time to do it. There will be time when there is no time. And the only thing that you can do is feed a two-year-old and clean up after them.
Yeah.
And that's your day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, marriage aside and, you know, divorce aside, I don't have a lot of regrets. I have lessons that I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if I would be at this spiritual place had I not gone through that.
Hmm.
I mean, I might not have been.
Yeah.
I might have been way off, you know? So, I don't know. I mean, the 39-year-old Samara could say, oh, that was a bad decision. But really, there are things that make me, me, and me, the me that I really love.
Yeah.
Only because I went through all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would just say to 23-year-old me, just hold on. Hold on, change is coming. Don't worry about a thing. Yeah.
I haven't done it in a while, but I like to end with a challenge.
Okay.
To to the listeners. So based on what we've talked about today, what do you think is a good challenge in terms of self-expression to give to the listeners today?
Ooh, find something that you're not great at. I mean, like, something that is not natural for you, but that you're interested in, that you can spend some time developing. And, you know, see if that could be an untapped talent, an area where, you know, it could just be golden treasures, but you didn't look there, you know? What if you never picked up a paintbrush, but the moment that you do, you realize, oh my gosh, I can paint. So search yourself and think, what are those things that you've been interested in, the things that you've been putting off trying, the things that you've wanted to do but you've been scared to do? Do that. Don't do the easy thing. Do that thing. And commit to spending some time to develop yourself in that area. And I guarantee that you will learn some significant life lessons when you do that. Because, yeah, I can't wait to go back to acting class. Like, I'm going tomorrow. And it's going to be something, and I'm going to be totally frustrated, and I'm going to be like, oh! But I'm going to come out of there with and say, okay, all right, okay, next time, you know. So challenge yourself.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, Samara, thank you so much for joining me today. Yeah, I think I've learned some things from this conversation, and I will be sharing that with you. And everyone else as I continue on this journey of my own self-exploration. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for hanging out with us for a bit. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, don't be stingy. Share it with a friend. Be sure you're subscribed to the podcast and following on social media at FamTalkPod. I'll be back soon with another episode. But until then, peace and love. Later, fam.
And you got me like, oh, what you want from me? And I tried to buy your pretty heart, the price too high. Baby, you got me like, oh, your love when I fall apart. So you can put me together and throw me against the wall. Baby, you got me like, won't you stop loving me? Don't quit loving me. Just start loving me. That's all I'm saying.